For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Let's open in prayer this morning as we come around the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we commit our hearts towards you, Lord, today in Jesus' name. And Father, I ask that every person here be abundantly blessed as the hearing of the Word and the receiving of the Word is made manifest in our lives, Lord. We ask that you have your way in our lives, that you show us what you want us to know, in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. We are looking today at a very important subject about God wants to multiply his people, wants to multiply his people. It's a very important subject. Let's first of all look at Jeremiah 30. Jeremiah 30, verse 17. Jeremiah 30, verse 17. And this particular verse gives an indication of what it looks like at the moment for the body of Christ, right at this particular time in history. And we see here a promise as well, something that we can take hold of. But I want you to notice a couple of things out of this verse, because if we went by sight, we could get very discouraged. But if we go by the Word of God, and that's precisely what we hold to, and that indeed is the standard we have, and that's what we base our faith on, is the Word of God. So it says in Jeremiah 30 verse 17, "For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, This is Zion, whom no man seeketh after." And certainly, the world at the moment is calling Christians and those of the church outcasts, saying, "You're not relevant. You're certainly of an old time, and why we've made so many advances in science, we've made so many advances in knowledge. How could you hold to the myths of the Bible?" Well, of course, anyone with proper knowledge would know where the myths really are being held, and that is amongst those who don't hold to the Bible as truth. Okay. Also, they point at the church, Zion, and they say, "Well, no man's seeking after that. It's not going to go anywhere. In fact, the church is going downhill, and there's going to be nothing that's going to result out of that at all." Now, we have an option in today's society. We have a choice, and the choice is to either believe the words around us saying that we are outcasts and irrelevant and no good and nothing's going to result, or we have the choice to believe the Word of God. And right at the beginning of verse 17 says, "For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds." I do believe there's been a lot of wounds that have been inflicted on the church, but God is promising that he'll restore health, that vibrant strength and health to be able to stand and to be strong and mighty. And it says, "And I will heal thee of thy wounds." Obviously, wounds can stop people or the body of Christ from going ahead, but there must be a restoration. There must be a healing. There must be that going forward, not to believe what they're saying, because they called thee an outcast, saying, look, this is Zion, this is the church, no man's seeking after it. We don't believe that. And we're going to see scriptures which show us that we should be believing the word of God, which is giving us great hope for the future, great hope for what the Lord is going to do and is doing that a restoration work, which, by the way, the enemy is absolutely petrified about and is doing his utmost to undermine the gospel message and to undermine the church itself. And I'm talking about the church proper. Have a look at Galatians 3, verses 7 to 9. Galatians 3, verses 7 to 9. And we see that there are various promises that have been made, and those promises have come from God himself, and those promises mean that because they've come from God himself, they will be fulfilled. We know that God has said to Abraham various things, and one very important thing that he said, and we'll read it in just a moment, in Galatians 3, 7 to 9, and then 13 to 16. Now, we also, as children of Abraham, they that be of faith are the children of Abraham, the Bible says. We also, as children of Abraham, should be believing, should be people that are walking by faith, and so on. So looking at Galatians 3, starting from verse 7, notice what it says here. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Is that you and me?
Yes.
Yes, it is, isn't it? That's you and me. We are of faith and we are the children of Abraham. Now notice what it says. Let's continue on. And it says in verse 8, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Now this is important for us to get hold of. Preached before the gospel unto Abraham, that makes it very relevant to us today, okay, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So the gospel, in fact gospel preaching, has this promise in it. In thee shall all nations be blessed. Notice it's extending to all nations and there's blessing in it. Verse 9, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So anyone that comes in through the gospel are blessed with faithful Abraham. Okay, so the promise here, in thee shall all nations be blessed, that's what we should be believing. That's what we should be believing, because the gospel is being preached now and will be preached. In fact, Jesus prophesied in Matthew 24 that the gospel of the kingdom would be preached to all nations and then shall the end come. So we know that the gospel is preached to all nations, and as it says there, in thee, in the Lord Jesus Christ, shall all nations be blessed. Now go to verses 13 to 16 of this same chapter. 13 to 16. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Notice what it says here, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So what do we see here? The blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. What's one of those things that are blessings? That healing, that health, that restoration, that prosperity. Abraham was one of the most prosperous men of all time. Okay? There's blessing attached to the gospel, to redemption, through Christ. Verse 13 tells us that. And verse 14 tells us that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. We should be believing that this is the thing that's going to happen. All right. Verse 15 says, "Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." It's important that God has, as we know, sown the seed of Christ into the earth. For God so, will we remember John 3 verse 13? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." So what do we know? God so loved the world that he gave a seed, the seed of Christ. Okay, and the promises were made, right, to Abraham and his seed, to Christ. And we are in Christ, and we are of faith, and we're of the children of Abraham. So the promises apply to us. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Have a look at Romans 8, 28 to 30. God wants to multiply his people. Not what we saw before in Jeremiah, where they say, "No man seeks after you. You're an outcast. You'll never amount to anything." We've heard those type of words. But what we're looking at is, what is God saying? Romans 8, 28 to 30. What is God saying? God is telling us that he will have his victory in the earth. He will have his gospel preached. He will have blessing to all nations. And so we have a gospel that has, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that has reach to all nations and has that promise that's been made to Abraham and his seed, Christ. It's got that backing of God himself, praise the Lord. And when it's got the backing of God himself, we know it cannot fail. As we know in Isaiah 55, where it talks about God's seed, God's word will not return to him void. So this is important for us to understand. Looking at Romans 8, 28 to 30, it says, "And we know that all things," how many things? "All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." That's important. And if you're going to confess that all things work together for good, for my good, if you're going to confess that, you also need to remember the last part of that verse, which says that love God to them who are the called according to his purpose. So you should also say, "I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord God. And I am the called according to your purpose. And I determined to know what your purpose is." Verse 29, "For whom he did foreknow," that's you and me, "he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among," how many? "Many brethren." The firstborn among many brethren. So now God wants many brethren, many children, to be just like who? Jesus. Just like Christ. Okay? Many. And we see that word predestinate. Obviously God has planned for this to be the case, for us to be conformed to the image of his Son. We should be becoming more and more like Jesus as we get older and older in the faith, not less and less like him. We shouldn't be becoming weaker and weaker in the faith. We should be becoming stronger and stronger and increasing and growing. We should be becoming more and more like Jesus, conforming to him, conforming to the image of his Son. Verse 30, "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called." that's you and me, and whom he called, them he also justified. That's you and I, you and me. We've been justified by faith in Christ. We have faith in his blood. He's cleansed us from all our sin. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. That's you and me as well. We are children of light. We are glorified in God. And so what we should be thinking is not that we are on the down and out, or the church is on the down and out, or that we are defeated people, but we should be thinking along the lines of the Word, which says, no, I'm being conformed to the image of Christ, so I'm not defeated. I'm not defeated. I don't receive defeat. Now, the Bible says he always causes me to triumph in Christ and make manifest the savour of his knowledge by us in every place. That's what I believe. That's what I believe. Okay? We don't look on ourselves as being defeated, or the church as being defeated, or perpetually an outcast and no man seeking us. We don't look at that at all. But we look at the fact that God wants his gospel preached, and he wants all nations to be blessed with the blessing of Abraham. Let's have a look at 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 to 9, we'll look at here in 1 Corinthians 3. So we are looking to God for the increase. It is God who gives the increase. It is God who is the Lord of increase. It is God who wants to multiply his people and multiply us individually. Okay, so looking at 1 Corinthians 3, we'll start from verse 1. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1, and we'll go to verse 9. And there's some illustrations in here which we really need to take to heart. So verse 1 says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." So do we start off as babes in Christ? Yes, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Well, you don't have a fully mature person being born, do you? It's a little baby that's been born, right? Little spiritual baby. And what do you get fed? Yeah. Well, verse 2 says, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." This is a bit of an indictment, isn't it? They're supposed to be able to bear the meat because they're supposed to what? Grow. They're supposed to grow, okay? Now, if people are born again and remain as babies, then they're carnal. They're in the carnal, particularly if they are years and years down the track and they're still a baby, that's a real problem. And that's what he says here in verse 3. "For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" That means walk as natural men, those without Christ. And we can't be people like that, or we shouldn't be people like that. We should be people, as I said before, being more and more conformed to the image of Christ, growing, so that down the track, months, years down the track, after being born again, we're no longer babies, but we are growing and maturing and more and more reflecting the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Can everyone see what I'm saying there? It's important for us to get hold of this because, sadly, across the church at the moment, if there are people who are born again, okay, there's a lot of false brethren as well, but we're talking about those who are actually born again. Those who are actually born again, they have to be feeding on the Word of God and growing into spiritual maturity. Because if you're not, you can get into a state of carnality, and that's a dangerous position, because in a state of carnality, people can fall completely away from God, and that's not good. Verse 4, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? So what should they be looking to? Not to men. Should be looking to the Lord. Saying, well, the Lord, I'm of the Lord. Okay? I'm of Christ. Now, he goes into detail about what he does and has done here. I have planted. Apollos watered. So people have various ministries. But God gave the increase. Okay, so God gives us increase in our own personal lives, and he gives the increase in the body of Christ as well. And it should be to him that we are looking for that increase and that multiplication that we're talking about, that increase. So let's be very clear that God is wanting his people to increase, to multiply, to go forward and not backwards, etc. And let's continue on, because there's some other illustrations here we can get out of the scriptures. As it says in verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. So our full identification should be with God. All right? A full identification should be with God. And that's important, so that when people, for example, if they're prayed over and they get healed, well, they shouldn't be saying, well, such and such healed me. They should be saying, I give glory and praise to the Lord that healed me, because it is the Lord that healeth thee. You see what I'm saying? Things like that. Verse 9, for we, that's you and me, those who are born again, are labourers together with God. What a wonderful position that is. We're labourers together with God. What you're doing on the earth, you should take very seriously. We are labourers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. That talks of plants or planting, garden type thing. Ye are God's building. So there's another illustration. God is building. Jesus said, I will build my church. So God is building. So who's doing the increase? Who should we be looking to for increase? Who should we be praising and saying, thank you, Lord, that you are increasing us. You are causing things to go forward. We should be saying that, and by faith, because we don't want to be looking as people that are hooked into sight and the natural, but into what the Lord is saying in his word about blessing all nations, about the gospel being preached, about God giving the increase, and so on. So verse 9 is a wonderful verse, isn't it? For we are labourers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Glory to God. God's husbandry, God's building. Let's have a look at Galatians 6, verses 7 to 10. Now, we have talked a lot about spiritual law in this church, so you should be aware that there are spiritual laws that are in place in this earth. Now, there's spiritual laws that make it so that the wicked are bound to those spiritual laws as well. For example, the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. That's a spiritual law. The expectation of the wicked shall perish. That's a spiritual law. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. That's a spiritual law. And you will observe that they'll meet up with thorns and snares and so on. You know, all of this is very, very important, because if you look into the word, you'll believe that and you'll say, well, you know, the wicked are in a bad place. They're stumbling around in the darkness. But God has us in a good place as we are being more and more conformed to the image of Christ. And this is something we need to take hold of. So one of the spiritual laws that we should be really, really interested in is this law of sowing and reaping. Okay, so what should we be doing in a time which looks like famine for the church? What should we be doing? Well, I think we should be doing some pretty serious sowing at this time, so that down the track there's going to be a great reaping and serious sowing into good ground. Okay, and that means in our own hearts we should be sowing the right things, and when we do our sowing, but not just financially, but in our effort and our resources and so on, we should make sure that we're sowing in the right place and right way as well. So looking at Galatians 6 verses 7 to 10, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So that tells us that you can sow bad seeds and get bad crops as well. Okay, and I think you can easily see that's the case all around you. Verse 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Well, that's a bad type of sowing and reaping, isn't it? But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Okay, remember I told you last the last sermon I preached about life everlasting, or everlasting life in God, is not just, oh, I'm living forever. It's a quality of life in God. All right? Living forever with God in his kingdom. That's what everlasting life is. And when did that everlasting life start? But when you were born again. Okay? Not when you die and go to heaven. When you were born again now. So what should you be doing now? Sowing to the Spirit. Shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That's all the qualities of that life everlasting as well, right now. Okay? You don't want to be living in defeat and broken and barely able to do anything for God. No, God wants you in a victorious position. That's what God is all about in terms of being the Lord of increase and blessing. Verse 9. This should really apply today, and particularly in the fact that we're in what we could say is virtually a spiritual famine in the land, okay? A famine of hearing the word of God, the book of Amos talks about. Not a famine of the word itself, the word is freely available, but a famine of hearing the word, okay? Notice what it says here. Verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So you can become weary in well-doing if there's pressure on you by the world, by compromised people calling themselves Christians, by all types of things. You can become weary. Okay, there's that great temptation. And you can become weary and say, oh, why should I bother? Okay, well, I'll tell you why you should bother. On the basis of the scripture is why you should be bothering. Okay? Why you should be emphasizing not to be weary in well-doing, but for in due season we shall reap. What's the condition? If we faint not. If we faint not. So let's not faint. Let's continue on. We can come out the other side in a very, very good position. A very, very good position. But if we buckle and fall under, the Bible says, if in a day of adversity you fall, it talks about your strength is weak, you're weak. But we can be built up, we can be strengthened in the Word, we can be people that are doing this sowing in the right areas, not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now notice verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Okay, so listen carefully to what that's saying. What you should be sowing into is, and that's the doing good part, do good unto all men where you can, where opportunities arise, do good unto all men. So you're operating out of love, remember. Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So it's almost indicating here that you would go out of your way to do good to those who are of the household of faith. You see what I'm getting at? And this is something to, I believe, to take to your heart in this time of famine, in this time when it seems that there's these false accusations that no man's seeking after you, you're going to remain dry forever, etc. That's not what the scripture's indicating. The scripture's indicating that the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all nations. You know, this is what we should be looking to. This is what we should be looking to. Just a couple more scriptures. Let's look at Psalm 35, verse 27. We must see ourselves as servants of God, servants of Christ. The Bible calls us that. We are people that are, because we're servants of righteousness. Because we are serving, we are doing things, aren't we? The Bible says we're created unto good works. And God is very interested in what we are doing. He's very interested in us as his servants. He has his eye upon you and me, and it's an eye of bountifulness and blessing, and he wants that for his people. This is something we must always remember. We are not people that are hard done by, but as we take the word of God, even when there does seem to be opposition to our position, we don't take that opposition as the be-all and end-all, but we take the truth of God's word as the standard and as what is spiritual law against, or the sword of the Spirit which is coming against what other voices would say. All right? Looking at Psalm 35, verse 27, this is a wonderful one to take hold of because it shows how God is looking at his people. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favour my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. So what should we be saying continually? Let the Lord be magnified. Let the Lord be magnified. Let's say that. Let the Lord be magnified. Let's say it again. Let the Lord be magnified. The Lord must be magnified. The Lord must be magnified. And let's take that into our hearts. Let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Are you his servant? Yes, you are. If you've been born again, you become a servant. A baby servant, yes, but you grow up in your servanthood. You grow up and you become more and more like Christ, and you become stronger, and you say, let the Lord be magnified. So this is something we should be continually saying, let the Lord be magnified. Let the Lord be magnified. Let the Lord be magnified. Because it's easy, as I said before, it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to faint. Okay? And I would say there are people who are in that category of having fainted and almost given up. But that's not what God wants us to do. God wants us to say, let the Lord be magnified, because he has pleasure in me and my prosperity. He has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Glory to God. And verse 28 says, and my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness, and of thy praise all the day long. So see, this person, that's the believer, is emphasizing the good of the Lord, emphasizing that God will have his way, that God is magnified, and he'll be magnified through us, in us, and in the church. And there'll come a day when people will be seeking after us and will be wanting exactly what is being preached and taught, and they'll be wanting to understand, well, what is this blessing that you speak of? What is it all about? They'll be wanting to know, because the gospel will be sent to the Gentiles and is being sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. They will hear it. We believe that. We take hold of that. Glory to God. Well, let's have a look. Just one more. Acts 6 verse 7, and then we'll close. Acts 6 verse 7. What has to increase? What has to increase? God wants to multiply his people. Wants to multiply his people, but his people have to look to him. His people have to trust in him. They have to see that he is the Lord of increase, and say, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Acts 6 and verse 7. Acts 6 and verse 7. Remember, I said there was a famine of hearing the word of God, but what happens when people start to actually hear the word of God? When they actually do hear it, what happens? Faith increases. Faith increases. The word increases. Okay? Acts 6, verse 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Notice the word of God increased. And the Bible says that the word of God is a seed. Word of God increased, and the number, and there's things that followed that, and the number of the disciples multiplied. Okay, we're going to see a multiplication happening. We're going to see that in our society. We're going to see Australia, and I'm committed to it now, more than ever. If anything that has been sealed in my life, it's that commitment for Australia to become a sheep nation, that is a Christian nation with the majority of people actually born again believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We should all make that commitment. And we say, let God be magnified, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Glory to God. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you. Thank you, Lord, that you are the God of increase, and we look to you, Lord, and we praise you, Lord, and thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your revelation. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you give us great hope and direction for the future. And Father, I ask that every person here and every person that takes hold of this message would start to understand that you and you alone is what matters, and that we should not be looking or hearing what other voices are saying, but looking and hearing and seeking after you with all our heart. And Father, we praise you for that, and we commit ourselves to seek after you in Jesus' name.